This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bisexual on Joy 94.9.
Triple Bypass acknowledges that we broadcast from the lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation and pay our respects to elders past, present and future. We also pay our respects to the brother boys and sister girls of the LGBTI Indigenous community and to the elders of the LGBTI community, whoever may be listening. And of course, to any other elders who are listening today, and to you. Oh gosh. Oh yes. Wasn't that something? That was Janelle Monáe featuring the one and only Prince. And you are tuned into Triple Bypass. We're here for the bisexual community and the pansexual community and the polysexual community and all you multigender attracted babes out there. We're here for you. Well, I'm here for you tonight because it's just me again. I would like to firstly thank that incredible interview with Boy George for Word for Word Encore show that was on previously. I am quite a fan, mostly of Karma Chameleon and of his Hat collection, which just shows you how much music I listened to in the 80s. I wasn't born yet. And also, I just want to say a quick thanks. I was not here last week for our Radiothon special, but I just want to say a huge thank you to all of you wonderful listeners who showed your support for our show, and for our station last week. We were able to raise $1,500, so $1,100, and over 13 of you signed up as members, and we cannot thank you enough. Now, of course, Radiothon is still going on. You're still become a member until the end of this month. And if you do, you sign up to go in the running for a 7-day trip to LA for you and a closest friend slash lover slash family member with accommodation and flights provided by Virgin Australia. So that's not, and that can go anytime you want. So not a bad prize. So if you want to sign up or renew your membership, I'll also give you a shout out during the show. Just go to joy.org.au. Or you can also make a donation, or you could also subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and give us a little 5 stars, which is always nice. It helps us find each other, which I have realized over this last few months of Pride is one of the most important things we can really do for each other. Just help each other find each other. I'm going to be joined later by Joe Williams, who is a passionate public health advocate who uses lived experience to create more empathy in the world, which is something I am very much here for. Now, Joe is also going to talk a bit about sex education, particularly for adolescents, but also just dealing with some of the messier, stickier bits we don't like to talk about so much in public. Well, we're talking about it in public, we're talking about it on the radio, which is so much better. You can also find out what happens when you put a sex educator in a radio studio with bisexuals. We'll find out. But that's coming up soon, so don't leave. Now, in bi news, around the world, in the 38th session of the UN Human Rights Council's General Assembly, they announced findings that bisexual people around the world are facing shocking rates of intimate partner violence, domestic violence, rape and sexual assault. Now, this is pretty hard to hear. It's something we've talked about a lot on the show, including a few weeks ago about Queer Space with Ray Alfonso. But what is positive in hearing that it is making to the UN General Assembly is because once it's out there, it's much easier to do something about it. And I'm sure that as hard as it is to hear that, things are still pretty rough and it's taking a long time for the general community and sometimes even our own community to really wake up to that. Where are we reaching the UN? And so there's also, you might remember, I did mention with Ro Allen a few weeks ago that there is potential for an initiative happening right here in Victoria to address one of these very things, which would be a world first. So it's an exciting and interesting time to be bi, which is always a blessing and a curse. But isn't that what being queer is all about? Now, it is Pride Month in the Northern Hemisphere. We don't celebrate it because apparently we tried, but it is too cold for us to hold Mardi Gras, which, given what the temperature is like in Melbourne, I can very much understand. I was camping at the Grampians over the weekend, and it was -0, which my poor little blood did not enjoy, but the stars were lovely. It's like having a sky full of glitter, which, as you can imagine, for all of us going out there glamping, it was very nice. Now, we are going to be talking throughout the show around sex, and that will also potentially sexual violence. That may be triggering, so of course look after yourselves, listeners. And of course you can also call 03-9663-6733 to reach Queer Space during business hours and make an appointment. You can call the Sexual Assault Crisis Helpline on 1-800-806-292. You can call Safe Steps, which is a family violence crisis response line for women and children, on 1-800-015-188. And you can also, of course, always call Switchboard or go onto their chat, which is on 1-800-184-527 from 3 until midnight every day. And their chat's on qlive.org.au. That's for people who don't necessarily enjoy speaking verbally, which I understand. To an extent, it might surprise you because I am on the radio, but I don't always enjoy speaking either. Now, as the Northern Hemisphere is celebrating Pride Month, this is taking place on the anniversary of the Stonewall Riots, which, of course, took place in 1969. Which actually isn't that long ago, but also kind of is. We'll be celebrating 50 years of Stonewall soon. And also, on a somber note, today it's the 2-year anniversary of the Pulse nightclub massacre, where 49 people were killed and 53 people were wounded by one man. And it's strange to hold these two things simultaneously, because as our dashes on social media are filled with rainbows and memes and glitter and people telling beautiful stories and arguing with each other about inner queer politics and what words we can use, what words we can't, that all kind of, you know, as that all happens in these little inner glitter circles, at the same time as we're partying, we're kind of holding this insane, not insane, that's a terrible word to use, but a very large amount of grief and sorrow and loss. And I feel that often that's what queer, being a queer person is all about. It's about being able to enjoy and embrace vivid, bright ecstasy and colour in ways that our heterosexual community kind of always join us in on for, because they because we have learned to push past certain barriers around discussing sexuality and love because it's been all we've had. But at the same time, it's hard to, while we hold that, we also hold in ourselves and for our friends in our community a lot of grief, because it is sometimes it is very hard. And I think those two dualities are what makes us who we are. And, you know, bisexuals know a lot about dualities. In fact, we know a lot about multidualities. And I think it's important in these times to hold each other very close. Even if we do not personate to celebrate Pride, and even if Facebook did not give us back the Pride React, which was awful, and I was very much looking forward to putting rainbows on everyone's reactions again. But I think at this time, let's look and see what happens beyond the rainbow, because I think there is so much we can still love, and it's okay to grieve too and to be thankful for what we have. And every time we can go out and celebrate each other, celebrate and love all the harder, because we know that people have spent a lot of time and given their lives to get us here. And that is something to celebrate, because we've come a very long way. We're in the UN now, guys. That's very official. Never thought we'd be official queers. Now, we'll stay tuned, because after the break, Joe is joining me to talk about bits and bods and why we need better sex education for younger people, especially around all the messy, sticky bits in between. If you want to join the conversation, you can always message me on 0427JOY949 or email me on onair@joy.org.au. And of course, check out my socials, which is Triple Bypass on Joy on Facebook, and also Triple Bypass on Twitter, and Triple Bypass Joy on Instagram, which I'm trying to use it, and Joe showed me how to put a story up just now, which is very exciting. I'm getting hip to the pop cultures, and next thing you know, I might even post, or I do post memes. I will rate them as dank. I don't know how that actually works. Dank memes are a thing. Sorry, Joe's rolling her eyes at me, which is fair. We'll be right back after this next song. Coming up is Let's Talk About Sex by, of course, Salt and Pepper. Stay tuned. This is Triple Bypass, and you're listening to Joy 25 years loud and proud.
Spinderella cut it up one time. Ooh. Oh. Mm. Hey. Uh-huh. Oh. Mm. Mm. Ooh. Oh. Mm. Hey. Uh-huh. Oh. Mm. Come on.
Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that may be. Let's talk about sex.
Now, to the people at home or in the crowd, it keeps coming up anyhow. Don't be coy, avoid, or make void the topic, cause that ain't gonna stop it. Now we talk about sex on the radio and video show.
Many will know.
Anything goes. Let's tell it like it is and how it could be. How it was and of course how it should be. Those who think it's dirty have a choice. Pick up the needle, press pause, or turn the radio off. Will that stop us, Pep?
I doubt it.
Alright then, come on, spin.
Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you. Let's talk about sex.
A little bit, a little bit.
Try to make any man's eyes pop. She uses, she got to get whatever she don't got. Fellas droop like fools, but then again, they're only human. The chick was a hit because her body was booming. Gold, pearl, rubies, crazy diamonds. Nothing she wore was ever common. Her dates, heads of state, men of taste, lawyers, doctors. No one was too great for her to get with or even mess with. The press, she says, was next on her list. And believe me, you, it's as good as true. There ain't a man alive that she couldn't get next to. She had it all in the bag. She should have been glad.
But she was mad and sad and feeling bad, thinking about the things that she never had. No love, just sex, followed next with a check and a note. That last night was dope, 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 dope.
Take it easy.
Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that may be. Let's talk about sex.
Gonna play this on the radio.
Why not? Everybody have sex.
I mean, everybody should be making love.
Come on, now, how many guys you know make
love? Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that may be. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex.
On air. Become a member today.
1-300-JOY-949.
That's right. Let's talk about sex and how you can become a member. All in one's two very, very sexy things. This is Ruby and you have tuned into Triple Bypass, the show for the bis, the pans, the polys and everyone else who's tuned in. I'm Ruby. I forgot to mention my name before. Hopefully most of you know me by now. If not, I'm so sorry. Let me introduce myself. I'm Ruby and I'm your genderqueer bisexual presenter. I've been doing this for almost 2 years now and I enjoy talking. Now, I am now joined by Joe Williams, who's been listening to me talking for a little while, and who chose that song, which was Salt and Pepper's Let's Talk About Sex. Now, I'm just going to jump in quickly. Not everyone does have sex, and that's also totally fine. Just going to throw that out there. Asexual and aromantic people are very valid and definitely belong in Pride. That's my two cents on the matter. Anyway, thanks so much for joining us, Joe.
Hey, thanks so much for having me here. And I definitely agree. I think that so much of our sex education has really focused on allosexual people. So that's people that experience sexual attraction. And I think one thing that I've really enjoyed getting into this space is I'm not allosexual, I'm demisexual. And being able to kind of to see how all these different parts come together and get really messy in a way, which is really beautiful. And I don't think that sex education is just about sex. It's about bodies. It's about relationships. So it goes beyond just the experiences of allosexual people as well. Plus, I mean, ace, like, people are ace.
Yep.
They deserve to be in the community. I mean, The name says it. So it's one of these gatekeeping things I've never understood.
Gatekeeping in general always confuses me a fair bit, I admit, because, you know, we've all kind of felt locked out of because we're not, you know, what is societally acceptable. So the fact that we then kind of like go and perpetuate that within our own circles.
Yeah.
But I suppose that's always just been a bit confusing. But I think that the more I've understood and learned about cycles of trauma and unfortunately all the things that happen when people kind of grow up with a very warped sense of what is a good relationship and what is not because of what they are, like, you know, able to do, what is safe for them to do, often which was not be open in their relationships. But so now Joe is, as you might be able to guess, a passionate public health advocate around sexual education. Now, she started by accident when she co-founded the High Schoolers Against Homophobia at 16. So parents let her go to the Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras Parade. And 12 years on, she's worked with ACON, CoHealth, International AIDS Society, International Planned Parenthood Federation, and various government departments. She's also completed a Master's of Public Health at the University of Melbourne. And she currently coordinates the Public Health Leadership and Management subject. So in between speaking candidly about her experience living with mental health, being queer and surviving sexual assault, she co-runs Bits and Bobs, which is an upcoming web series, potentially, that talks to teens about sex, bodies, relationships and all the awkward bits in between with an emphasis on the awkward, I think. And I think, so Joe, why do you think, before we get really stuck into all the mess, why do you think it's important for teens to have an educational platform that really does discuss maybe the squeamish parts of sex or the things that make us feel a little uncomfortable or a little put on the spot?
I think it really comes down to the fact that the things that we don't talk about, whether that's sex, whether we talk about mental health, even within the community, those are the things that cause shame. And they cause shame in the long term. If we start to, you know, equip young people and teens to, I don't know, unpick those things of shame before they're embedded in their head, that's really getting away what I see to be one of the biggest STIs in the world, which is mental ill health from sexuality. So there's a couple of reasons why Bits and Bods has kind of been designed in the way that it's been designed. So the number one thing is it's a mainstream resource. It's not an LGBTI sexual health resource, because as a teenager, you're exploring who you are as a person. You're
and
exploring
sex is weird for everybody.
Exactly. And truthfully, you know, being a member of the queer community for so long and having so many friends around me who, you know, are heterosexual and are cisgender, allowing them to have some of the insights that the really amazing people in our community have developed over time. Mm. I really think that if people got that when they were 13, when they were 12, and had that ingrained in their head, regardless of their sexuality, regardless of their gender identity, they're going to have a lot more fun in their life. And we know that fun, like people who are having more fun, have better health as well. So why don't we just like build up from the strengths and allow the young, like the younger generations after us to, you know,
to actually lead the way and move past the stuff that we struggle with. It makes me think of that bit from Legally Blonde. Like, you know, exercise gives you endorphins. Endorphins make you happy. Happy people don't kill their husbands. They just don't. So the same thing, people are having fun and endorphins, because I do hear, I have heard on the grapevine that sex is a good workout. So potentially endorphins, more happiness, less people doing killing their husbands. So, of course, that's generally not how it works there either.
Yeah, I think that may be a long bow, but I definitely do think that there are a lot of benefits in terms of being able in terms of being able to talk about things. So we see particularly in teens, and we're really focused on teen girls within Bits and Bods. We see really high rates of eating disorders. We see high rates of unplanned pregnancies. We see high rates of STIs, and we also particularly in the teenage kind of experience with teenage girls, and particularly multi-gender attracted teenage girls, we see the highest rates of dating violence as well. So we see that if we're able to equip people to be able to talk about these issues with their friends, with their partners, or even with their health practitioner, that means that they're more able to get the support that they need at an earlier stage. And it really reduces the trauma and the mental health impact that they'll be experiencing in the future.
It's interesting to kind of look back on this, because I think it's such a great resource to have. I'd love that.
Yeah.
I'm sure. And, you know, look, I'll put this out there now again. So, listeners, we've got some lines. So you can always call Switchboard on 1-800-184-527. Also, if you have any questions for Joe, you can message them in on 0427-JOY949 or email us at onair@joy.org.au. Obviously, a very great resource herself, if you don't mind me referring to you as a resource. Is that a weird thing to do?
If you pay me, I'll be a resource.
None of us get paid. That's why you should become a member and donate, because we're all volunteers. Very few.
But, like, I also think it's one of these things where we say, okay, this is something that is aimed at teens.
Yeah.
I'm nearly 28. I have gotten the totality of my sex ed through doing this resource for the last 2 years. The things that I've learned from listening to other people my age and the learnings that they've gotten, that's how I got my first orgasm at the age of, 26. And I don't think that there's any embarrassment to say that, you know, I didn't know what I was doing or I didn't know how to talk about my body. But I do think that there's a lot that we can learn about really, really understanding how our body works and why it works in a certain way. So there's so much, even if you're, if you're 80, if you're 50, if you're, 20, and you're interested in learning more, that's fucking amazing. Am I allowed to swear?
Absolutely. It's
that's fucking amazing. And be curious. And there are so many queer-focused sex resources that, if you get in touch with Triple Bypass,
we'll definitely pass
we
them
can
on your
definitely,
way.
Yeah, we
we'll
can
put
help
together
you out.
A little resource packet. Now, I'm actually going to be asking about some of those resources again after this next break. So coming up, we have Sia. This is one of Joe's choices. Fire, Meat, Gasoline. that's sexy in a Bernie kind of way. Maybe get that checked, see ya. Anyway, this is Fuel Bypass and you're listening to Joy.
Of your community. Joy 94.9.
It's a bit of an abrupt end. Sia, leave me hanging. This is Triple Bypass. You're listening, and that was Fire Meet Gasoline by Sia, the wonderful bisexual from Adelaide. I'm Ruby, and I'm here to bring you all the bi, pan, polysexual, and queer stuff that you could possibly want. We're joined by Joe. I'm joined by Joe. It's just me and Joe, and we've been chatting about sex and about sex education, particularly for young people. Joe's been working on a video resource for teens about the relationships, sex, and all the messy, sticky bits in between that people don't like to talk about, but we definitely should because that's what makes it more fun. So one of the big overarching things we've been bringing up before was that being often queer spaces, we've actually been able to move in certain areas and talking about sex further than in heterosexual spaces. But I would also say that there's probably some parts that where our own experiences growing up, I talked at the beginning of the show about the fact that this is Pride, and we're also in today is the 2-year anniversary of the Orlando Massacre, and those two major events that are kind of going on at the same time, in the senses of triumph and resilience and also grief and pain that they cause, kind of, I think, explain often our attitudes towards sex as well, where we've kind of had a lot of shame around the way that we queer people have sex, and at the same time sex is an act of defiance because it's something that is forbidden and is not allowed. And so I suppose I'm curious to know what you think as far as, in just in general, where does shame around sex come from in general? Like, I can understand where it comes from for queer people and that we're told this is actually wrong, but when people are told that sex is actually something that they're supposed to be doing, even if it's literally just have sex to have children, or I can see the look on your face, is that part of it? Is it because we've been told that sex is something to be only enjoyed, or not even enjoyed, something to be done for a particular
procreation.
Role? Procreation.
Yeah.
Babies.
Well, I think firstly we have to acknowledge that drawing on the work of Rachel Hills, that we live in a world where there's a sex myth,
mm-hmm.
and that's a line which is kind of, no one really knows where that line is plotted, but if you step one side over, you're a slut, and if you step the other side over, you're a prude. And I think the fact that from a very young age we see that this is something that's heavily policed, particularly with people who are socialized as women, and I think that that creates a lot of shame in terms of trying to work out who we are and what we actually like, because we're always trying to navigate our reputation as opposed to what's actually bringing us pleasure. And then it comes, I guess, the other thing that, one, we don't give sex education. We don't, or if we do provide sex education, we provide reproductive ed and potentially talk a little bit about contraception for people who are having penis and vagina sex, where there's a chance that they may experience pregnancy or there's a chance of STIs. And I think that because we don't actually equip people to think and to really explore who they are and what they're wanting to do, we reinforce that shame at a younger age, and we really do create this weird bind where it's like, if you go out in the world, everyone's talking about sex, all the media is showing sex, but no one actually in their interpersonal lives are, and there's all the shame and all the stigma associated with breaking down those barriers.
Our generation's having less sex. That's actually something that's been talked about quite a lot,
which makes sense. It probably means that we're having better sex as well in some ways, because I do think
impotency is up, though.
I know, impotency, yeah. I do think that if we're looking at, you know, kind of our parents' generation, people were forced, when I say forced, they were socially forced to marry at an earlier age, and they were usually socially forced to continue having sexual relationships with individuals as well.
Yeah.
Whereas I think that when you're looking at kind of like 20 to 30 year olds, you've got a lot more choice, you've got a lot more things going on in your life as well, and you don't have that kind of forced agenda that you have to fit into. When you're looking at teens, it's a different thing. I don't know if you could say quantitatively. Like, I don't think that if you were looking at, you know, data from 30, 40 years ago, that you'd be able to actually compare it because
probably
of the way
not,
that...
because of the pill and everything like that. Now, I've got a quick pause because we do have a new member. John from Karen Yip in WA has just signed up as a member. Thank you so much, John. You absolute legend. You're brilliant. Thank you for helping us stay on air. We've been on air for 25 years for people like you, so massively appreciated. Also, we got a message from Clario. Really glad to hear body positivity and mental health and sexuality all being discussed together. Love your work, Joe and Ruby. Smiley face, thank you so much. If you want to send us a message, you can reach us on 0427JOY949 or email us onair@joy.org.au. If you want to become a member and hear me get very excited and interrupt Joe's very interesting discussions around the history of shame and intergenerational sex practices, you can reach us. Find that on joy.org.au and just click the button that says sign up as a member, and I'll get very happy. Speaking of less happy things, I think when we're talking about this idea of, you know, the sex boundaries and what is policed and what is allowed and what is modelled,
yeah.
And as far as, because one of the things I've been reading a lot about is the way that, even when I was going through high school, which was
10 years ago.
I finished 10 years ago. It's about 16 years ago. You know, guys were watching porn.
Yeah,
and that was just the beginning, I think, of the generations of people of boys who grew up and they learned about reproductive sex and how not to get a girl pregnant at school and outside of, and then they learned, or I say this with, you know, in my ear, learned how to have sex with a woman, because that, or with a man or with anybody, through watching pornography.
Yeah.
Now, how do you think that's affecting how we interact during sex?
Well, I think that the way that we're framing the conversation around porn is a little bit off mark.
Mm-hmm.
Porn is definitely becoming sex ed because we're not talking about sex. We're not equipping people to have sex. But I think that we need to look at porn as an extension of a larger cultural issue.
Yes.
And going back to what we were saying about everyone's talking about sex and everyone's having sex in the media, but the things which are consistently coming through, which are problematic in the media and within porn, are the same things which we are already seeing from cultural behaviours in society. So things like, when was the last time you saw in a movie or even in a porn, or when you're watching pornography, asking if someone wants something done?
Yeah.
So it's just a reinforcement of existing kind of social norms in those things. I do think that there are some...
You know, John Howard actually tried to have vaginal squirting banned in pornography because he didn't think it was real.
Yeah, there's...
And in the UK, they effectively did that.
Yeah.
And I think an actress from that show, Two Broke Girls, once said that if there is a scene of her in a film with her receiving head and having an orgasm, that film's M.
Yeah.
I mean, that film's R, so top rating, 18 plus.
Yeah.
If they're in a film, a man is getting a blowjob, it can still be a PG film.
Yeah. And it's so true.
So women's pleasure is never, or very rarely, the main goal of pornography. And I think, what I think with porn is that it's, pornography itself can be a beautiful thing, like any other form, but much like art, it does hold up a mirror to what we think common practices are and what the issues are within that.
Yep.
And when we're seeing the breakdowns, and so the majority of pornography is made for straight, usually white male consumption. And apparently recently, though, there's been a push up. So some sites are now showing that there's been a massive increase in women asking for porn for women.
Yeah.
But also potentially similarly, because that they're now look at the point where they can actually start asking questions about sex and where else do they go?
Yeah. So I totally understand that. And there's a huge, like, there's been huge movements in terms of feminist porn and in terms of ethical porn development. And one of the really sad things is that's not accessible for teens, because what are they going to do? Steal their parents' credit card?
Because you have to pay for it.
Because you have to pay for it. Because to, you know, to be ethical in your porn consumption, you need to be making sure that the working environment for people who are porn performers is safe, and that, you know, there are, you know, occupational health and safety standards are met, and that they're well paid and things like that.
I'm going to ask you for a whole list of recommendations for ethical porn right after this break. Oh. This coming up is Rainbow by Kesha, another wonderful bi-pan individual. This is Triple Bypass. This is Ruby speaking with Joe about sex, baby. Stay tuned, you're on Joy.
I used to live in the darkness, dressed in black, act so heartless, but now I see the colors are everything. Got kaleidoscopes in my hairdo, got back the stars in my eyes too. Yeah, now I see the magic inside of me. Yeah, maybe my head's fucked up, but I'm falling back in love with being alive, dreaming in lights. This kid to get lost her mind. Been looking for a star and sign that I'll be alright. Look to the skies. I found a rainbow, baby. Trust me, I know life is scary, but just put those colors on, girl. Come and play along with me tonight. Forgot how to daydream, so consumed with the wrong things. But in the dark, I realized this life is short, and deep down I'm still a child. Playful eyes
mad and wild. I can't lose hope. What's left in my heart's still made of gold. And I know that I'm still fucked up, but aren't we all, my love, darling? Our scars make us who we are. So when the winds are howling strong and you think you can't go on, hold tight, sweetheart. You'll find a rainbow, rainbow, baby, trust me, I know. Life is scary, but just put those colors on, girl. Come and play along with me tonight. You gotta learn to let go. Put the past behind you, trust me, I know. The ghosts will try to find you, but just put those colors on. Found a rainbow, rainbow, baby, trust me, I know. Life is scary, but just put those colors on, girl. You gotta learn to let go. Put the past behind you, trust me, I know. The ghosts will try to find you, but just put those colors on, girl. Come and paint the world with me tonight. Oh, put those colors on.
Listen to us right around the nation. Joy 94.9.
Sorry to cut you off, Kesha. This is Triple Bypass, the show for the bisexual, pansexual, polysexual, multigender, attracted, queer community, and everyone else who wants to listen. We don't discriminate or gatekeep. Got no time for that. This is Ruby, and that was Rainbow by Kesha, who is, of course, a wonderful member of the LGBTQIA plus family and is celebrating Pride up in the Northern Hemisphere with the other 80% of the world's population. We missed out because, oh no, it's 70%. Most of the population is above the equator. It's too cold here for us to march. So instead, I'm here talking about sex with my very good friend and public health advocate, Joe. It's like public sex advocate. No, not public sex.
I definitely wouldn't be recommending that people should be having sex in public. they may end up on a sex offenders list.
Yeah, and also I think, well, just brief sidetrack here. Yeah, I think that kind of, you know, being turned on by that kind of exposure thing, negotiate it beforehand with literally everyone involved because I think it's important that often we keep in mind that being exposed to those things, if not participating, can also be traumatizing.
Yeah.
Now, Joe has been schooling me and all of you on basically why it's so important that we have sex education, what's been missing from sex education, which is everything outside of here's how to stop getting a girl pregnant or someone with a vagina pregnant.
Well, I think one of the other things that we really have to reinforce is that the existing sex education only caters to heterosexual, cisgender, able-bodied individuals.
Absolutely.
And if you fall outside of any of those experiences, you don't have a sex education.
So it's really interesting because I learned what a dental dam was by going to a minus 18 party, and this is back when they were still underground little mucky things, and they had big boxes out the as everyone left, and they had big bucket of condoms, a big bucket of other things, and I grabbed one of each because at that point I was still like, I'm bisexual, I want both. And I didn't know what the other one was.
Yeah.
And it was interesting because when I found out what a dental dam was, I'm like, well, this is useful for literally anyone with a vagina who wants to receive oral sex, and I hope to God, for the sake of all those heterosexual women out there, that it is not just queer people with vaginas who are experiencing that.
Most people don't even know a dental dam exists.
No, they do not.
And I think the fact that, you know, when
it's
you
a bit
can,
of plastic you put over your vagina.
Well, you can make a DIY one out of a condom, because one of the big things that you see when you're looking at kind of like cis women's sexual health is that it's ignored. And you don't see these things, like you don't see gloves and you don't see dental dams in the same places where you would buy condoms and lube. And I think that that's really, really detrimental to making sure that you're, you know, you're having safe and consensual sex. And I think one thing that I really, like, if I could give one tip, I'm not a sex educator. I'm not a, like, I have no health background. Well, I do have health background.
That's a lie.
But
on my
radio station. No, no. I'm not a health practitioner, so this is an advice. But if I had to give advice, that would be lube.
Yep.
Everything is better, wetter.
What kind? Because there are different kinds. So,
well, it depends on what you're using. So usually I'd be recommending a silicone. I do know that the kind of the go-to lubricant for most sex educators is Uberlube, which is amazing, and it's actually the most beautiful little kind of pump that you can put next to your bed. But if you're using you know, a sex toy or anything which is silicone based, you don't want to be using a silicone based lube. So if you're using a silicone sex toy, you should be using a water based lube. And I usually, like, my go-to is Sliquid. But there are a wide variety. I'd be recommending, if you're wanting to look into kind of upping your kind of sexual health supplies, or your, you know, your bedside table or whatever you want to call it, Nikki Darling is amazing. It's a gender neutral, kind of a sexual health boutique, which has sex toys. It has kind of sexual health, you know, things like stuff that you need for safer sex. And it also, it's just a really wonderful organization, which is Melbourne based and all online. So you can order anywhere in the world. It's super discreet. Every single time I have stuff coming to my house, I'm like, ooh, what have I bought? And then I'm like, oh, there's a huge thing of lube in here. I also recommend, if you're Melbourne based, definitely check out, if you have a vagina, check out, Passion Flower. Yeah.
On High Street in Richmond.
Yes.
They have good workshops.
Yes, they do. And if you're looking for kind of sex educators who are online, who are doing these things, particularly people who are wanting to do queer and trans inclusive, I'd be highly recommending that you check out sex.iwishyouknew, which is run by Euphemia Russell, who's a Melbourne-based sex educator who's about to move over
and
to the US.
And we are all waiting. I literally have my pen out. Ethical porn. Ethical recommendations. Porn. Let's do this.
Okay.
What have we got?
So the number one I would be recommending is Crash Pad.
How do you spell? Is that with a C or with a K?
It's with a C. So it's literally Crash, C-R-A-S-H, space pad. Also Tristan Taramino, who's a sex educator, pornographer, who's American-based. So she's done a lot of... I guess, how-to guides, particularly around anal sex. And I've also heard that Pink Label TV is really good as well.
Awesome. I also know, I was mentioning before during the break, so one of my favourite bisexuals, Mara Wilson, who, of course, was Matilda in the film Matilda, a child star turned onto Twitter, Sass Queen. It's brilliant. A few years ago, she did a tweet, which obviously stuck in my brain to an extent, which was that she knows she's an adult because she has a set, she's got a list of, like, you know, her go-to groceries, her go-to shopping needs in, like, you know, Kmart or Walmart, and her list of ethical porn sites ready to go.
Yeah.
And what was really sweet about that was a lot of women were messaging saying, where do I find ethical porn?
What is ethical porn?
And they knew what that part of it was.
That's a big thing.
They knew that, like, you know, well, I think even maybe not so far as ethical is in the work sense, but they knew that ethical meant that people, I'm not looking at things that look like assault. And which occasionally, anyway, tangential, not going to go down that path. Yeah. Right back on to Mara, talking about, you know, people all giving their recommendations about check these ones out. Yes, you do have to pay because it's a service.
Yeah.
You have to pay for that service. And I thought that was all very sweet and wholesome.
Yeah.
Given that people were passing around porn, like it were notes in class. I thought that was really sweet.
Aww. But that's what you were saying before. It's about finding the community and finding the things that work for you. And I think that's the biggest thing with sex and sex education. It shouldn't be a, like, this is the way you do things. Sex education is really, it's like going to a restaurant and looking at a menu and working out what tickles your fancy. And, you know, if you go back a second time, it doesn't mean you have to have the same things, but it's about really working out what works for you and how that works with other people as well. So I often talk about the idea of sex positivity. Have you heard of the term sex positivity?
Oh, absolutely.
And what do you think sex positivity means?
I think it means framing the idea of sex as something that is never anything to be ashamed about or to shame someone for.
Yep.
And as long as it's all consensual.
Yeah.
That's what I believe sex positivity is.
Yeah. And that is, as an idea, what sex positivity is.
Hmm.
But I do think that there's always been this kind of like this almost a sex compulsory idea around it, which I think is complete bullshit.
Particularly that is pressuring for women or people socialized as cis women.
Yeah.
Like a lot of magazines I've read and seem like, you know, they'll be encouraging women to be more adventurous. And I say women because they are, you know, they make it very clear, they're cis women, that they are, you know, they're designed and they're like, oh, try this on, like, you know, you do this, he'll love this, he'll love this, he'll love this, he'll love it if you do all of these things.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I'm not sure that a lot of the magazines aimed at cis men have similar advice.
No.
No.
Well, I wouldn't. I've never been the target market, so I can't really say that I've gone. I can say, actually, when I was 16, I did a content analysis of men's magazines versus women's magazines on the portrayal of same-sex attraction.
And you thought?
I was out at that point, so nothing to be, like, confused about. It definitely, there's very limited advice. And I think that that's also really detrimental.
Absolutely.
To, you know, cis straight men.
Because it's about, if you can't do this, then it's a failure.
Yeah.
And so that, and if they're not, then they're not really told how to do it, and the way it's often shown in pornography, it's
no.
not, you know, I think men are still really struggling to find out that a lot of, it's not possible for someone with a vagina to necessarily orgasm just from penetration. In fact, that's very unusual.
Yeah.
And guys are like, but what am I supposed to do then? It's like, literally everything else.
Ask them.
But that's the thing, though, because it does take a certain amount of knowledge yourself to be able to answer those questions.
Yeah. And that's why I know that timing is
that's
moving.
That's true. We're having to wind up, and that's a pity because it's gone so quickly because there's so much to talk about. Oh, sex. Let's talk. We've been talking about it. And, that, you know, Salt and Pepper said they won't play the song on the radio. Yeah, we did. And then we kept them talking about sex for the next 45 minutes.
But we didn't talk about the best sex.
Hmm.
Masturbation.
Ah, yes. I do me right. Everyone always does themselves. So do you think that's something that should be, I think that should be more encouraged?
So in the 1990s, the American Surgeon General, Dr. Jocelyn Elders, was actually stood up. She gave evidence and she said that if sex ed taught people about masturbation, would see a reduction in unplanned pregnancies and would see a reduction in STI transmission.
And in the United States?
In the United States.
Ah, yes.
She was forced to resign.
Of course. They don't... I'm not going to go into that because we haven't got time and I can feel myself getting worked up in the bad, angry, ranty way, not the fun way. Anyway, thank you so much for joining us on Triple Bypass, Joe. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you.
No issue at all. Thanks so much for having me, and I'm sure I'll see you around again.
I imagine so. We'll be back next week on Tuesday. Do stay tuned. We've got a very special edition of Local Roots coming up. Jason has been joined by the local Melbourne band City Calm Down for a Local Roots takeover. Now, remember, please, Radiothon does go on until the end of the month. If you join, you can win a week's trip to LA for you and a friend. All expenses paid. How amazing. Thank you so much for helping Joy stay out loud and proud. We love you. We'll be back next week. This is Ruby. Good night.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.